Morning. Today's daf and Shabbos Chav Dalet. We are in Chav Gimel Mid Beis. We're starting at the two dafs below B'shem Sreifa. We've been following the daf for last number of days. We've been talking about Inyanei Chanukah. Inyanei Chanukah comes up over here in the second parak of Shabbos, as the second parak we just started on Chav Mid Beis deals with the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros for Shabbos. And so, in the topic of Hadlakas Neiros for Shabbos, the Gemara uses it as a launching pad to discuss the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros as it relates to Chanukah as well. With that in mind, the Gemara started on the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph and continued for the remainder of Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, and yesterday's Daf Chaf Gimel, discussing all various aspects of Chanukah, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Gemara is going to not conclude its discussion on Chanukah. The Gemara is, in fact, going to be spending one more Daf, meaning basically the entirety of today's Daf, Chaf Dal, is dedicated to Chanukah as well. It just happens to be that, somewhat awkwardly, the Gemara here takes a small break to go back to the Mishnah to discuss the Mishnah. It's a little bit unclear what the structure of the Gemara is, meaning why didn't the Gemara just simply finish up the Chanukah discussion and then go back to the Mishnah, and why the Gemara over here is taking a break and discussing the Mishnah and discussing the Hilchos of Shabbos. So that part's a little bit unclear. Nevertheless, that's what the Gemara is doing, and that's where we're starting this morning. We're beginning towards the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Beis with the words V'lo B'Shem Tzreifa. One is not allowed to use Shem Tzreifa. Now, the Mishnah here is describing things, oils that you're not allowed to use. The Mishnah went through a list of wicks and oils that are not good for your Ner Shabbos. Six different wicks that were described in the Mishnah, six different oils that were described in the Mishnah, and then the Mishnah also recorded that one is not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa. The obvious question is, what is Shemen Sreifa, and why can't you use it? So my Shemen Sreifa, so Amar Rabba Shemen Shel Truma Shenitmei. So we're talking about Shemen Shel Truma that becomes Tamei. So obviously we know that Truma is a mitzvah, Daraisa, to take, to be Mafish Truma, to take off from the produce, grapes, wines, and grains, and then midrabanan, all of the fruits as well, and to give it to the Kohen. And the Truma has Kedusha. Now, as it relates to the olive oil that's given to the Kohen, so the Kohen can eat the olive oil, rub the olive oil into his skin, and the Kohen can also use it as fuel. If it is, well, if it's not Tamei, the Kohen has to consume it. But if the Truma becomes Tamei, so then what the Kohen can do with his olive oil is that he could use it as a burning. And he can get Hana while it's burning, meaning he has to burn it because he has to destroy it because Truma Tamei is not allowed to be consumed, but while burning it, so you're allowed to get Hana while burning it. And so what the what Rav explains our Mishnah to mean is that when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa, it means Shemen, which is Truma Tamei, and you're not allowed to use that for your Shabbos Lecht. So first question the Gemara deals with, why is it referred to as Shemen Sreifa? Ho ula Sreifa omeid. So good. So the Gemara says it's called Shemen Sreifa because that's what you're supposed to do with it. Once you have Truma Tamei, you're supposed to burn it, so that's why it's called Shemen Sreifa. Now, follow-up question. The Shabbos my time alone. Now, why can't you use it for your Shabbos Licht? If you think about it, as we pointed out already, you're allowed to get benefit from it while it's burning. And so, it's Truma Tamei. Fine, so burn it and get benefit from it. What is the problem with using it for your Shabbos Licht? So the Gemara offers the following explanation. So the Gemara says, because unlike in general when you're burning oil on Friday night, so yes, you're doing a mitzvah, the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos Licht, but in other words, there's no imperative to burn the oil. Meaning over there, you're just burning it because you want the light, you want the illumination. Over here, when you're burning the Truma Tamei, you actually have a directive to burn the Truma Tamei. And your first and foremost purpose and goal is to actually make sure that the Truma Tamei gets burnt. So that means on Friday night, not only are you going to be getting benefit from it, but also you're going to be worried, this is Truma Tamei, and this needs to be burned in its entirety. And because of your alacrity to do the mitzvah of burning the Truma Tamei, what you may end up coming to do is you may come to tilt the lamp in order to make sure it totally burns. And again, it's Shabbos, it's Friday night, and tilting the lamp would be a malacha. So because of this concern, the Chachamim banned this kind of activity. So the Gemara says, Abaye says, if this is in fact true, if you're saying the right shot, so let me ask you a question. If this was not a Friday night situation, but this was an Erev Yontif situation, so would you be saying the same thing? Would you be saying that you're not allowed to burn the Truma Tamei on a Erev Yontif? Now let's think about it. On Yontif, you're allowed to burn. So Me'ata Be'yontif Lishtaru, it should be permitted on Yontif. Alama Tanan, and meanwhile, in the mission that we're going to be seeing later in this morning, Eim Alikim Shemen Sreifa Be'yontif. One is not allowed to burn Shemen Sreifa on Yontif Gzera. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to. And if the entire issue is Shemayata, that you may tilt the lamp in order to get it to burn more, On Yontav, you're allowed to burn. Burning is one of the malachas that's mutter on Yontav. So the Gemara says, Gzera Yontav atu Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, that's true, but the Chachamim made a blanket Gzera. Once they made a Gzera that encompasses Shabbos, they made a Gzera that encompasses Yontav as well. And yes, it's true, this could be viewed as a Gzera L'Gzera, meaning that the Shabbos to begin with is already a Gzera, and then making another Gzera of Yontav atu Shabbos. And Shabbos atu Shemayate, so admittedly we're talking about steps removed from doing a malacha, but nevertheless, Shabbos Yontav, you'll have to say something along the lines of Kulu Chad Gzerahi. It's all part and parcel one of the same Gzerah. Okay, so what we have right now is one shot in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to burn Shemen Sreifa, what's it making reference to? Truma Tamea. And why you're not allowed to burn it on Friday night? Why can't you use it for your Shabbos Licht? Because of your desire to make sure that it is totally burnt, because by Truma Tamea, the mitzvah is to burn it, so Shemayate. I may come and tilt the cup and may be violating the malacha of Havar on Shabbos. Rav Chista Amar, L'Shem Yata Lo Cheshin, and Rav Chista says, no, we're not worried about Shem Yata. Ela Hach B'Yom Tov Shechalios B'Shabbos. I'm sorry. Ela Hach B'Yom Tov Shechalios Erev Shabbos Askina. The case of the Mishnah is talking about where it is a Friday night, but it also happens to coincide with Yontav as well. L'Fishein Sorfin Kachim B'Yontav. And, as we're going to learn later this morning, one is not allowed to burn kachim on Yontav. On Yontav. So there is a heter of ochel nefesh, and one is allowed to cook for themselves on Yontav. However, what one cannot do is take kachim where you and I are not going to get benefit from it, and burn the kachim on Yontav. This is an isser, and the Gemara is going to later on explain to us where the sourcing of this isser is. And what the Gemara now is explaining is that the Mishnah, our Mishnah, is talking about a specific ukimta in which it is Erev Shabbos, and that Erev Shabbos also happens to coincide with Yontav. And the issue is of Ein Sorfin Kachim B'Yontav. Now the Gemara says, now that's very difficult, V'hamad Diktani Seifa, because, again, we're going to quote that Mishnah that's coming up later this morning, Ein Malikim Shemen Sreifa B'Yontav, that one is not allowed to burn Shemen Sreifa on Yontav, Mechal D'Reish Alab B'Yontav Askinan. And so, by contrasting our Mishnah and the upcoming Mishnah, what it sounds like is that our Mishnah over here is not talking about on Erev Yontav. It's not talking about Yontav, meaning the next Mishnah is talking about Yontav. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, Misura, Matam Kamar. No, you have to read these two Mishnayos back to back. One Mishnah is explaining the other Mishnah. Matam in Madlikim Shemen Sreifa B'Yontav. Why is it that you're not allowed to burn Shemen Sreifa on Yontav? Fishin Sreifan Kachim Yontav, because you're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yontav. And so the Mishnah's ban on burning Shemen Sreifa for your Shabbos Licht is talking about, according to Rav Chista, a specific case in which the Erev Shabbos happens to coincide with Yontav. And it's based on the rule of Ein Sorfin Kachin V'Yontav. As we now turn to the top of Chav Dalam and Aleph, Tanya Kavaz Rav Chista, we have a brisa supporting Rav Chista. Kol Eilu Shamarin Malikim Behem Shabbos, Malikim Behem V'Yontav. Everything where you're not allowed to light on Shabbos, you are in fact allowed to light on Yontav, Chutz Mishemen Sreifa, with exception to Shemen Sreifa, Lefish Ein Sorfin Kachin V'Yontav, because one is not allowed to burn Kachim on Yontav. Again, the sourcing for that we're going to discuss later this morning, but that's the brisa. The brisa says, excuse me, the Brisa says it clearly, like Rav Chista, that one is not allowed to burn Shemen Sreifa on Yontav, and that is why the Mishnah prohibits using Shemen Sreifa. It's not just a Stam Friday afternoon, it's a Friday afternoon that happens to coincide with Yontav. Okay, so on our slight deviation, we're not really deviating, meaning we're explaining our Mishnah, but we left the world of Hanukkah, and in the slight detour that we took so far this morning, so we discussed the Mishnah that says that one is not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa. So the question that we dealt with is twofold. One, what is Shemen Sreifa? And then two, why am I not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa for my Shabbos Licht? And so we offered two pshatim in the Mishnah, one by Rav and the other one by Rav Chista. Ivai Lehu, we're back now to discuss Inyanei Chanukah. We are on the very top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara starts off with the following question. Ma laskir shoh Chanukah bebirchos amazon. So, are we going to mention Chanukah in benching? Now, part and parcel of the question of the Gemara over here is as follows. On Chanukah, it's not a Yontav. And there is no mitzvah to eat on Chanukah. Minhagim galore to eat. Okay, it's inescapable truth that we Jewish people love eating. And we love the minhagim of eating. But it's not a Yontav, and there's no mitzvah to eat on Chanukah. And so, when I'm benching, in other words, obviously, you're entitled to eat on Chanukah. And we can even go a step further. You're not allowed to fast on Chanukah. It made it into Megillas Tanis. And so when you do eat and you have bread and you're going to bench, so should you mention anything about Chanukah in benching? Now, let's contradistinct this to Shmoneh Esrei. Now, Shmoneh Esrei, we have an obligation to daven on Chanukah. So our obligation to daven on Chanukah therefore requires us to include in the Shemona Esrei the Meina Ma'ora, the fact that it's Chanukah, and we have therefore have to add Alanisim in the Shemona Esrei. But in benching, where there is no real obligation to eat, so perhaps there's no obligation to add Alanisim in the benching. And the Gemara basically makes this point. The Gemara says it a little bit differently. So the Gemara says, "Kevin de Midrabban and Hulamit Karinan." Maybe the Yantiv is the Yantiv de Rabban, and therefore, and there is no requirement to add Alanisim in the benching. And perhaps what the Gemara meant is what I suggested, meaning it's a din de Rabbanan, and there is no mitzvah to eat. Perhaps that's what the Gemara means by that. Anyway, that's one possibility. Odoma mishum persum enisa matkarinan. Or on the other hand, look, now that you're benching, and could be by yourself, but it could be you're with others as well. Other people now are going to hear you, and this would result in pirsum anes. Other people are going to be hearing you mention alanisim, so you have a pirsum anes opportunity. So, fine, so add an invention. Amarav, amarav schora, amarav huna, inu maskir. Vim bala haskir, maskir bahuda. So the Gemara quotes b'shem rav, b'shem rav huna, that you shouldn't add alanisim in your benching, but if you happen to do so, so put it in the bracha of Hoda, meaning in Nodalacha, in the second bracha of benching. Ravuna bar Yehuda ikla lebe Rava savar latkuri beboni Yerushalayim. He thought that he's going to add the Alanisim, he's going to add it in the third bracha of benching. So Amalu Rav Sheshes Kitzfila. No, the platform, the model in which we're going to use in terms of establishing when we're going to add the Alanisim is going to follow Shemona Esrei. So Matfila Bahuda in Shemona Esrei, where do we say Alanisim? We do so in Modim. So then we're going to do the same thing in benching. We're going to add it in modim. And I mentioned this in the past, and it's from the Rishonim, and I forgot who to give credit to, but I was sent to research this. The bracha of modim is on historical events in the past. And so we are thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for historical events. So the Alanisim on Purim and on Chanukah, we add that in modim. Because in modim, we're thanking Hashem for the things that He did for us. Masha'inkim, when we're talking about Yalav Yavo, so that is, and Shabbos, which are not focusing on the past, but rather focusing on the present and on the future, so then we don't add it in the bracha of modim, but we rather add it in the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. Okay, anyway, that's the, but the Gemara has given not a super strong answer that we should be adding Alanisim in benching. The Gemara says, the Gemara's conclusion is somewhat cold answer. You don't have to mention it, but if you do, you should say it in the bracha of no delecha. Minhag Yisrael, of course, is to say alanisim in benching. Ibailahu ma'u lahaskir rosh chodesh bebirchas hamazon. What about mentioning Yalav Yavo in your benching? Is that required? And the Gemara here articulates why this is a question. So on one hand, Chanukah is a din derabanan, and so maybe there's no requirement, but rosh chodesh da'araisa. But Rosh Chodesh is a din d'oraisa. Now that is an interesting position the Gemara takes, that Rosh Chodesh is a din d'oraisa. It's not a yantav d'oraisa. Perhaps the Gemara just simply means over here it's a din d'oraisa, meaning that the Torah acknowledges Rosh Chodesh, right? HaChodesh HaZelechem Rosh Chodeshim, right? We read it last week in Shul. Well, we would have, but anyway. But you get the idea. In other words, so it's mentioned in the Torah. That could be the point the Gemara is making. Whatever the case is, Rosh Chodesh is a din d'oraisa. So that is how it distinguishes itself from Chanukah. So Chanukah, maybe there's no requirement to say Alanisim in the benching, but on Rosh Chodesh, so you should say Yalav Yavo, it's a din d'oraisa. Odema kevin d'lavaser b'asiyas malacha lo maskarinan. On the other hand, we know that there's no Issa Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, and so since there's no Issa Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, so therefore there's no requirement to say the Yalav Yavo in benching. And the connection over here between the Yalav Yavo and the Issur Malacha, I'm simply suggesting, has to do with the fact that if this was an Issur Malacha, so then what's the focus of the day when the day is guided by Issur Malacha? So the focus of the day is Seuda, right? On a Shabbos, on a Yontif. So there's an Issur Malacha, so the focus of the day is Seuda. And so therefore, and on top of that, there's a requirement to have a Seuda, both on Shabbos and on Yontif. So over here, when we're talking about Rosh Chodesh, where there is no Issur Malacha, and there's no focus on Seuda, so maybe there should be no requirement to say Yalav Yavo in your benching. Rav Amar Masker, Rabbi Chanina Amar Ina Masker, comes out to be a machlokus of the Amorayim, whether or not Yalav Yavo should be added in benching on Rosh Chodesh. I'm Rav Zirka Nakod to Rabbi Adecha, Dika Rabbi Yoshia Kavasei. So Rav Zirka says, take Rav's position. Rav Oshia follows, he's following like Rav Oshia. Didn't he, Rav Oshia? Rav Oshia taught the following in the Brisa, Yamim Sheish Bem Karban Musaf. On days in which there is a Karban Musaf, days like Kagon Rosh Chodesh V'Chol Hashem Moed. So, on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed, so there's a Karban Musaf that's brought. In other words, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, so there was an additional Karban that was brought on those days. Additional Karbanos that were brought on those days. And so therefore, on these days, Arvis, Shachris, Mincha, Mispal, Shemana, Esrei, V'Omer, Meina, Ma'ora, Be'avoda. So when you're davening on these days, on Mariv, and Shachris, and Mincha, so you say the Meina, Ma'ora. So you say Yalav Yava. V'imlo Amar, Machzir, no so. Now, if you fail to say Yalav Yava on these days, so you got to go back and repeat your Shemana, Esrei. V'imim, Kedush, Alakos. Now, these are days, they're Rosh Chodesh and they're Chol HaMoed, that even though there's a Karban Musaf, nevertheless, there is no Kiddush on these days, meaning there's no Seuda, and there's no requirement to say Kiddush al Hakos, and V'yesh by Maskaris Berchot Samazon, and on top of that, you should be mentioning benching. And in benching, you should be adding the Yalav Yavo. So, and that's V'yesh by Maskar Berchot Samazon. So you should be Maskar in the benching, the fact that it is Rosh Chodesh and it is Chol HaMoed. Now, the truth of the matter is, we could stop right here at the Brisa, and we're not going to, we're going to continue. But now the Brisa has made the point that Rav himself made, and now this is fortified by a Tosefta of Rabbi Oshia, and that is that you're going to be saying Yalav Yavo in your Rosh Chodesh, in your benching on Rosh Chodesh. Continuing in the Brisa, Yamim Shein Baim Karban Musaf. Now on days where there is no Karban Musaf, Kigon Shein V'Chamishi, V'Taniyos Ma'amados. So when, on special days where there's no Karban Musaf, like let's say for example Monday and Thursday, or fast days or ma'amados. Now, each one of these days that the Gemara just articulated requires explanation. I'm going to come back to Tanis and ma'amados in just a moment, but right now let's focus on the Gemara and Sheni v'Chamishi. Sheni v'Chamishi translates as Monday and Thursday. Now, Monday and Thursday are both wonderful days, and they're good days of the week, but there is nothing inherently special about Monday and Thursday as opposed to Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday and Sunday. Now, it's true that there's a longer tachanun and there are and the basin convenes on these days, but the Gemara immediately reacts, what's Monday and Thursday? Shein v'chishu v'chamishi ma'avid atayu. In the context of our discussion, we're talking about special days in which additional tefillahs are added in our Shemona Esrei and in our benching. What's Monday and Thursday? In your benching on Monday, it's the same benching as Tuesday. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? Ela sheini v'hei ubei shel taniyos ma'amados. Oh, good. So the clarification is that Monday and Thursday is not a separate point in the Brisa. Monday and Thursday is actually a connection to taniyos ma'amados. Fast days and ma'amados. In other words, when we get to Masech Tanis, we will learn together that the fast days over a famine and over a lack of rain. So the fast days were done on Monday and Thursday. And depending on which dates we passed without rain, so that's going to determine which Mondays and Thursdays we're talking about. But anyway, the fasting was done on Mondays and Thursdays. So when we say Monday and Thursday, we mean Monday and Thursday of the Taniyos. And also the Ma'amados as well. And now continuing in the Brisa, I'll come back to Ma'amados in just a second. So Arvish v'Shachris v'Mincha Mitzpal Shemana Esrei v'Omer Me'ina Ma'ora B'Shomei HaTfilah. So Mariv, Shachris, and Mincha, you're going to be davening Shemana Esrei on these fast days, and you're going to say the extra Tefillah of Anenu, because on a fast day you add the extra Tefillah of Anenu, and you add it specifically in the Brach of Shomei HaTfilah. Now, if you forget to say it, you don't go back and you don't repeat it. And there is also no mention of the Me'in Hama'ora, the fact that it's a festa, you don't mention it in benching. Okay. Much to discuss over here in this Brisa. I'm just going to go over some of the more salient points. Number one, Ma'amados. Ma'amados comes up throughout Shas. The idea behind Ma'amados is that much like the Kohanim did the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash on a weekly schedule, so on top of that also, B'nai Yisrael took on shifts where various communities would be having extra tefillos, where they would supplement the karbanos, the avoda done in the Beis HaMikdash, with extra tefillos. So the avoda that's done in the Beis HaMikdash, coupled with the tefillos that were done by select communities throughout Eretz Yisrael on a weekly basis, so this is a practice known as Ma'amados. And so on the days of the Ma'amados, we discussed it, we are going to discuss it extensively in Masechta Megillah, other Masechtas as well. But anyway, so that's the idea behind Ma'amados, that when our community is going to be having the practice of Ma'amados with extra tefillos and fasting, so that is the That's the institution of Ma'amados. Another basic point that comes up over here in the Braisa is that the Braisa describes how you don't have to add in your benching anything about the fast day. I'm sure everybody right now is beyond confused. If it is a fast day, what are you doing benching? Now, the simplest answer could just very well be that, okay, it's a fast day, but right now you are sick, and you need to eat on a fast day, and because you're sick, because you're a chola. So that could be the possibility, but Rashi over here offers the following as a pshat, and it's a super interesting pshat. Rashi writes over here, v'tshuvas ha-ga'onim. Rashi in the Divra Maskal Arvis, before I start reading the Rashi, also let's highlight something else as well. So all of us recognize on a fast day, so there is an extra tefillah that says Shemone Esrei. Minhag Ashkenaz is to say it when? Only at Mincha. But we, Ashkenazim, do not say the Anenu tefillah, not in the Mariv on the night of the fast, and not in Shacharis on the morning of the fast, but we only say it at Mincha. Now, what comes out from our Gemara over here is that our Gemara actually says that you should be saying the Anenu tefillah, not only at Mincha of the fast day, but also the Shacharis in the morning, and this is the exciting part, and also in the evening prior. Now, in the evening prior, so there is no, the fast doesn't start. Meaning Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, fast starts on the night of. But on a general general fast day, the Tzom starts on the morning of. So what are you doing saying Anenu on the night of the fast day? So, really interesting Rashi. I'm going to read the Rashi inside. Rashi Divra Maskal Arvis. Rashi writes, V'chufas Hagonim Atzasi Braisa. Shanu Rabu Seinu. So he found the following in the Chufas Hagonim, a response of the Gaonim period. And Pamim Shadam Shari Betanis Veinu Mispalo. Sometimes you're fasting and you're not saying Anenu. Upamim Shenu Shari Betanis Mispalo. And sometimes you are not fasting and you do say Anenu. Now, again, all this is confusing, but Rashi goes on to explain. Hakesan. So on the night of the fast day, so you didn't start your fast, but nevertheless, it's the night of the fast, meaning you know that tomorrow you're going to fast. So even though you're eating that night, because most fasts do not start the night of, only Yom Kippur, only Tisha B'Av, but you know you're going to be eating that night, but nevertheless, since that's the night of a fast day, so in your tefillah, you should be saying Meina Ma'ora. You should be mentioning that's a fast day. And so therefore, that's an occasion where you're saying Anenu, even though you're not fasting. And then, what's the flip side? The flip side is the next night. Now, you're davening Mariv the night after the fast. And the Mariv is, you're going to break your fast after Mariv. And so, you're still sitting in fast for Mariv, and meanwhile, you don't say Anenu. Anenu Mispal Tfilas Tanis. So, and you're not going to say Tfilas Tanis because obviously this Mariv is dedicated for the next day, and the next day is not a Tanis. And so therefore you don't say Anenu. Good. That is interesting point number one of this Tshuvas HaGaonim. Now, if we are reading it carefully, we understood it carefully, so what does that mean? It means that we should be saying Anenu on a fast day, not only in Mincha, not only in Shacharis, but even the Mariv previous. On the night before, you should be saying Anenu. That's what comes out from this Tshuvas HaGaonim. But let's read on. Now, in the Tshuvas HaGaonim says Rashi, so the Minhag Yisrael has become that we don't say Anenu on the night prior, even though we just learned that Me'ikar Adin you should, but we don't. Ve'afilu Shachris, and this is probably the basis of Minhag Ashkenaz. And we don't even say Anenu in the morning of. And interesting, he writes, Shema Ya'ari Lo Ones Choli. Because what may end up happening is that, look, your intention, you have the best of intentions, you're going to fast. But at the same time, however, you may not make it to the end, right? You may get sick, you may really need to eat. So you don't know for sure if you're going to fast, so don't risk it. Don't say Anenu on a fast day if you don't know you're going to make it to the end. Oh, bomos v'yitom klom v'nimtza shakran b'tfilaso. And in your davening, you declared it had to be a fast day. And meanwhile, you didn't fast on that day. And so, Minhag Ashkenaz is not to say Anenu. For Mariv and neither for Shacharis, we say Anenu only on Mincha. One point which I'm sure everyone here knows is that for Minhag Ashkenaz, even though we don't say B'tfil B'lachash, but B'tfil B'tzibur, on Shacharis we do say Anenu. The Sheikh Tzibur says Anenu. And presumably the reason why is because he's davening for the Tzibur, somebody in the Tzibur is going to fast. In fact, we could say most of the people in the Tzibur are going to fast. So since that's a Tfil B'tzibur, so we have enough confidence that people are going to be fasting. Somebody's going to be fasting in the community. So therefore, for the Chazar Sashas and Shacharis, so you do say Anenu. Okay, that was a lot that we just went through over here. But all this brought us to the conclusion that on Rosh Chodesh, one does in fact say Yalla V'Yavo in your benching on Rosh Chodesh. Ibai Lahu, we're back to the Gemara. We're halfway down to Chavdal Amid Aleph at the two dots. It's a little bit more than halfway down. Ibai Lahu Ma'ala Asker Shochanaka B'Musafim. So let's say as follows. Let's say it's Chanukah and you're saying Musaf. Now, there are two reasons why you'd be saying Musaf on Chanukah. Meaning not for Chanukah. On Chanukah itself, it's a Yontif de Rabbanan. There is no carbon Musaf that's born in Chanukah. You only bring a carbon Musaf only when the Torah instructs us to bring a carbon Musaf on Yontif, as per the instructions in Parsha Samor. So you bring a carbon Musaf on Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh, on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed. But that's it. In other words, you don't bring, just because we are observing a quasi yontif of Chanukah, you don't bring a carbon musaf. Good. So with Manenu, of course, we don't have a carbon musaf at all. But when we're davening tefillas musaf, so what a wonderful question of the Gemara right now. So should we be saying al hanisim in our musaf of Chanukah? Now, again, there are going to be two occasions in which I'm going to be saying musaf on Chanukah. One is because it's Chanukah Rosh Chodesh. Two, it's because it's going to be Chanukah and Shabbos. And by the way, we can have all three coincide. It could be Chanukah, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh. But anyway, so when I'm saying a Musaf on Chanukah, should I be adding Al HaNisim? Now again, we are all kind of already tilted in the inclined to say that the answer is yes, because Baruch Hashem, we've davened Musaf on Chanukah, and we know that there's an Al HaNisim in the Musaf. So, but the Gemara, however, is going to entertain this discussion. So on one hand, there's no Musaf has nothing to do with Chanukah. Chanukah does not generate the Tefillas Musaf. And so therefore there really is no reason why I should be adding Al HaNisim in the Musaf. On the other hand, Oduma, Yomu Shechai Barba Tefillas. On the other hand, it's a Yom. Meaning the day now requires that I daven not three times but four times because it's a day that has Musaf. But nevertheless, it's the Yom and part of the Yom is Chanukah, and therefore I should be adding Al HaNisim. So the Gemara goes back and forth on this discussion. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda dami tavayu in a maskir. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say that you should not say Al HaNisim in your Musaf on Chanukah. Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan dami tavayu maskir. And Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan says that you do mention Al HaNisim. Amar Abayla, Rav Yosef had the Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda de Ravu. The position Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda actually comes from Rav, which of course makes sense. Both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda were talmidim of Rav, and so it makes sense that it goes back to Rav. The Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav Rosh Chodesh Chalios b'Shabbos. Let's say you have Rosh Chodesh coinciding with Shabbos. So Amafter Benavi b'Shabbos. So when you say the Haftorah on Shabbos, Einu Tzarich Lazkir Shel Rosh Chodesh, there's no need to include any mention of Rosh Chodesh. Now, by the way, it is interesting. Meaning, we all know this to be true. It is interesting because when we're talking about the actual Haftorah itself, the actual Haftorah itself is going to be a Rosh Chodesh Haftorah, meaning it takes on the identity, the Haftorah takes on the identity of Rosh Chodesh. But in terms of the brachos that we say, we focus only on Shabbos. And in the brachos, there's no mention whatsoever of Rosh Chodesh. Shiyom alei Shabbos, ein avei b'Rosh Chodesh. So because, why am I saying Haftorah? Not because of Rosh Chodesh. And again, I'll add parenthetically, even though Rosh Chodesh will dictate which Haftorah I'm saying, but in terms of saying the Haftorah altogether, it's not a function of Rosh Chodesh, it's a function of Shabbos. And so therefore, in the brachos, you only mention Shabbos and you don't mention Rosh Chodesh. And so what you see over here, and this was said over B'Shem Rav, and so what you see over here is that you have to look at what is the Mechayev, what's generating the activity. So since Haftorah is being generated by Shabbos, even though it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, there's no need to include Rosh Chodesh. And the same thing is true over here when it comes to Musaf on Chanukah. What is generating Musaf? It's not Chanukah that's generating Musaf. It's Shabbos that's generating Musaf. It's Rosh Chodesh that's generating Musaf. And so therefore, Al HaNisim is not to be added in the Shemona Esrei of Musaf. Midam, the Gemara says, look, the comparison is a good attempt, but the Gemara does not love the comparison. Hasam Navi b'de Rosh Chodesh like a klal. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to the institution of Haftorah, there is literally no shaychus whatsoever between Haftorah and Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, on Rosh Chodesh, there is simply no institution to say Haftorah. And when it comes to Haftorah, Haftorah is strictly a function of Shabbos. But over here, when you're talking about Chanukah, so there are other tefillahs that we're saying today. On every day of Chanukah, there is going to be minimally Mariv, Shachris, and Mincha. And during those tefillahs, you're going to be saying Al HaNisim. So there is a format in which you're going to be saying a version of Shemona Esrei with Al HaNisim. So one can make the argument that even though, yes, it's true, Musaf is coming not as a result of Chanukah, Musaf is coming as a result of Shabbos. So Musaf is coming as a result of Rosh Chodesh. But still, the format of the day is Shmoneh Esrei with Al HaNisim. So over here, when I'm davening Musaf, so maybe you could say the same thing. The format of the day is Shmoneh Esrei with Al HaNisim. El Laha Dami, the Gemara says, if you want to make a comparison, make it to the following. Adam Rav Achtabui, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Rav. Gemara quotes another halacha in the name of Rav. Yom Tov Shechalios B'Shabbos. So let's say you have Yom Tov and Shabbos, which coincide with one another. Hamafter Benavi. So when you say the Haftarah, B'Mincha B'Shabbos. On Mincha on Shabbos. Now, if you think about this Gemara for just a moment, what is the Gemara talking about? Saying Haftarah on Mincha on Shabbos? What Haftarah? What Mincha? What Shabbos? So you go to Shul on Mincha on Shabbos, so we do learn from the Torah. We have three aliyahs that we say from the upcoming Parsha, but we don't do Haftarah. So once again, I turn to Rashi, and Rashi writes over here also, quoting Tshuvas HaGaonim, second time on the daf. Rashi, Divra Amascha, Amafti Benavi, Bemincha, Beshabbos, Matzatzi, Beshuvas HaGaonim. Shall you regil him likros benavi b'shabbosos b'mincha? Asara psukim. So there used to be a minog that on mincha, on any and every given Shabbos, so there would be a short haftorah. 10 psukim, says Rashi. Uv'yimei parsim gazru gzeru shalalasos v'kem shenistalku nistalku. And sometime historically during the Persian rule, so for whatever reason, we're not privy to the details. So the minog was banned and barred, and it just never made a comeback. And so we lost this minhag of saying the Haftarah on Shabbos afternoon. But there was an old minhag. Okay, so with that in mind, let's go now back to our Gemara. So let's say Shabbos afternoon, where there was once upon a time an established minhag to say Haftarah on Shabbos afternoon, 10 psukim from the Navi. And it also happens to be Shabbos coinciding with Yom Tov. Ein tzarich la'azkir shel Yom Tov. So there is no requirement to be maskir Yom Tov, meaning that in the brachos over here, so even though it is Yontov, there's no need to add Yontov into the brachos. Why? Shomal Shabbos ain't Avi B'Mincha B'Yontov. Because over here, why are we saying Haftorah? The only reason why we're saying Haftorah is because it's Shabbos. Yontov does not generate the requirement of Haftorah on the Yontov afternoon. On Mincha of Yontov, there's no such minhag. So this minhag is coming basically as a result of Shabbos. And therefore, in the brachos, I only mention Shabbos and I don't mention Yontov. And the Gemara says, now, that's comparable. Meaning, so over here, so when it comes to Musaf and Chanukah, so it's true that the day requires that I daven Musaf, but it's also true that what's generating Musaf, it's not Chanukah that's generating Musaf, it's Rosh Chodesh. It's Shabbos that's generating Musaf. And so since it's Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh generating Musaf, so therefore there is no requirement for Al HaNisim. At this point, the Gemara goes back and forth on the question of whether or not Al HaNisim is added in Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos of Chanukah, and at this point the Gemara seems to conclude that we should not be adding Al HaNisim. Now that's a strange conclusion, only because you and I know that we do say Al HaNisim. Well, we get to turn the page, and the Gemara concludes on the top of Chavdal and Mudbeis, V'leisei Chusak Kochani Shmaitetam. The halacha does not follow like any of the above. Ela ki Adam Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, the halacha follows like Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Yom HaKippurim Shechalios B'Shabbos. So Yom Kippur coincides with Shabbos. Hamispal on the Ilah. So when davening the Ilah, tzarich la'azkir shel Shabbos. Yomush nischai bar betfilos. So you're going to be in Ni'ilah mentioning Shabbos in Ni'ilah. Even though Ni'ilah is being generated by what? Ni'ilah is not being generated by Shabbos. The tefillah of Ni'ilah is being generated by Yom Kippur. And so Shabbos, if it were just for Shabbos alone, Shabbos would not require us to say Ni'ilah. It's only Yom Kippur. One, now if we went down this road of asking the question, what is the mechayiv? What's generating the requirement for me to say it? And if it's not a mechayiv, if it's not added, if I went down this path, I would have said that when Shabbos and Yom Kippur coincide, and I'm saying Ne'ilah, so there should be no mention of Shabbos whatsoever. But meanwhile, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says that's not the halacha. The halacha is, since it's Shabbos, and since I'm davening a Shmoneh Esrei, so therefore I'm going to be adding Shabbos. So here as well, since it is Chanukah, and since I'm saying a Shmoneh Esrei, I'll be at a Musaf, and it's not because of Chanukah that I'm saying the Musaf, but nevertheless, I'm saying a Shmoneh Esrei on Chanukah, I should be adding Al HaNisim. And that's the Gemara's conclusion, that you should be adding an Al HaNisim in the Musaf of Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Kashi Hilchasa Hilchasa. Okay, very good. So the conclusion of the Gemara is very sound. We do have one more string to tie up, and that is the following. Amart Hilchasa Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. So we just said the halachas like Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, which means that on a number of occasions, let's say Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So I'm going to add... I'm going to mention Shabbos in the Tefillah of Ne'ilah. And on Chanukah Musaf, I'm going to add Al HaNisim in the Chanukah, in the Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf. Good. So the halacha is like Rav Shimon Levi. Also, the Kamelan Hilchasa Karava. The halacha also falls like Rava Dama Rava, Yom Tov Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. That when Yom Tov and Shabbos coincide, so Shliach Tzibur, Hayor Lifnei Ateva, Arvis, Enot Sarach La'asker Shal Yom Tov. So when we say Magen Avos, when the Shliach Tzibur says Magen Avos, so he only needs to mention Shabbos, and he doesn't need to mention Yom Tov whatsoever. Shomalei Shabbos, Hei Shliach Tzibur, Yorid Arvis B'Yom Tov. Because this idea that we have some sort of quasi-Chazaros Hashatz on Friday night, that is strictly a Friday night activity. Magen Avos, which is a quasi-Chazaros Hashatz for Mariv, so the only time you do it is Friday night. You don't do it for any other occasion. You don't do it for Yontif. So therefore, when you say Magen Avos, even though it's Shabbos and Yontif, you only mention Shabbos, you don't mention Yontif. Okay, so the Gemara says, obviously now we're good and confused. Meaning we just concluded the halachas like Rav Yishuv ben Levi. And that means to say that once I'm saying any kind of Shemoneh Esrei on the Yom, so mention in the Shemoneh Esrei what I normally would mention that Yom, even though whatever I'm mentioning is not generating that Shemoneh Esrei. But still, it's the Yom. So over here, so when I'm saying Magen Avos on a Friday night, that also happens to be on a Yontif night, so why don't we also add Yontif as well? Hachi Ashra, the Gemara has an answer. The Gemara says, Hasam Medin Hu Dafi L'Bashabbos Nami Lo Tzarech. No, the truth of the matter is that on Shabbos it's not really required to have a Chazor Sashas, meaning this idea of Chazor Sashas on a Friday night, so that is not Me'ikar Adin. V'Rabbanan Hu Tzekani Mishum Sakana. And the Gemara over here says that the reason why Chazor Sashas was instituted on Friday night in Shuls is because it was a Chachamim institution and because of Sakana. Rashi over here writes, Mazikin Shalom Yobat Tekenesu Shalom B'Yishuv. So Rashi says that their shuls were not in town. V'choshar Leile Achol Hayyasukim B'Malachtan U'V'Gemar Malachtam Ispalam Arvis B'Beisan. And generally speaking, when they would daven Marv, they would daven Marv at home. V'la Hayyubayim B'Beis HaKenesis. And they wouldn't go to shul to daven Marv. Aval Leile Shabbos Bayim B'Beis HaKenesis. But on Friday night, everyone would go to shul on Friday night. And the concern is that now that we're in shul and shul's not in town, so there used to be a minug, the shul was out of town, a little outside of town, and so therefore we wanted to make sure that nobody was left behind in shul. And so what the Chachamim did is they added a little more to the davening afterwards, so that makes sure that everyone would walk home together. And Rashi writes this, and that's why the Chachamim instituted the Magen Avos, just to create a small little delay at the end of davening on a Friday night so that everyone will walk home together. So basically what the Gemara's answer is that when it talks about Magen Avos is not an institution of Shemona Esrei. It is an institution that was added by the Chachamim in order to prevent Sakana. But it's not an institution. But over here, when we have the day where there's an obligation to daven more than to daven four times, so then whatever you're davening on that day, you're going to add the Ma'or Sayom, you're going to add whatever is part and parcel of that day. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the Sugya of Chanukah. We're going to continue, obviously, we're going to finish up to the Mishnah, we're going to go even a little bit further than that, but basically now, we have covered the entire Sugya of my Chanukah. The Gemara started the discussion back on Chafalaf Amud Aleph, towards the bottom of the Amud, and now for the last three and a half blot of Gemara, Chav Beis, Chav Gimel, and Chav Dalet, and half of Chav Aleph. So for 3.5 blot, the Gemara now covered and dealt with some of the basic halachas regarding Chanukah, both in terms of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and what we spent a lot of time today discussing, and that is the Me'in HaMa'or, the insertion of Al HaNisim, in your benching, in your Shemona Esrei, in your Tefillas Musaf, etc., etc. Continuing now in the Gemara Veloba Aliyah. So one is not allowed to use the fat of the tail. Chachamim Hainu Tanakama. Now, if you look carefully back at the Mishnah, you will see that the Chachamim and Tanakama seem to be repeating the same point. So, Ika Beinayu, the Gemara says that there is going to be a subtle difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim, the Rabbanan Merav, and that goes back to the discussion of Rabbanan Merav. If you go back and remember what we learned together on Daf Chaf Aleph, we asked the question about creating a compound oil, where it's a compound of good oil and bad oil. And if I create a compound, would it be acceptable to use? Is the rabbinic prohibition of using the bad oils only when I use the oils by themselves, undiluted? But if I dilute them and I cut them with a good oil, so would it be good? So that was the discussion that we had back on Chaf Aleph. And the Gemara over here says that that is going to be the difference between the Chachamim and the Tanakama, meaning one of them does give an allowance and the other one does not. Now the Gemara says, now in the Mishnah, it's kind of hard to read which one would hold like what. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. Velo misaime. And the Gemara says, and we don't conclusively know which of these positions there's going to be the osir and which one is going to be the matir. Which one allows compound oils of good and bad oil compounded together and which one is going to prohibit it. Adkan. We start with the next Mishnah. Malikim b'shemen sreifa b'yom tov. One is not allowed to light using shemen sreifa on yom tov. Now we already learned that shemen sreifa is truma tameya, and one is not allowed to burn it on yom tov. We're going to explain why momentarily. Rabbi Shmuel Omer ein malikim b'itron b'mnei kavod haShabbos. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that you're not allowed to use itron. Rashi over here describes it as the residue that comes out of pitch. Apparently it has a very foul odor. And if you use it, it's not going to be a kavod haShabbos and won't honor Shabbos. V'chachamim matir b'chol hashmanim, the chachamim allow for all oils to be used b'shemen shumshemim. So sesame seed oil, b'shemen egozim, some sort of nut oil, b'shemen snonos, some sort of gourd oil, b'shemen maybe the pumpkin seed, b'shemen dagim, the oil that comes from a fish, b'shemen pakuos, b'itron uvenift. The oil that comes out of pakuos, Rashi describes it also as a gourd, some sort of desert gourd. And itron and neft. Itron and neft are different types of fuels that each one of them have a foul odor. And yet, according to the position of the Chachamim, those would be allowed to use on Shabbos. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Ein Malikin Ela B'Shemen Zayis Bavad. Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion that the only oil that one should use on Friday night is only Shemen Zayis, for reasons which we are going to articulate soon enough. My Taima, we are going to start with the Gemara, and we're just going to go a little bit into the Gemara this morning. My Taima, what is the reason why? Why is one not allowed to burn Truma Tameya on Yom Tov? So my Tam Lefish ain't surfing Kachim Yom Tov. Because one is not allowed to burn Kachim on Yom Tov. Menahan Emila the Gemara wants to know, what is the source of this halacha that one is not allowed to do so? Amr Chizkia v'chein tanin debe Chizkia. Amr Kura, the Pasuk says, v'lo sosir mimenu ad boker. That one is not allowed to leave over any of the carbon until the next morning. V'anosir mimenu ad boker. And if one were to leave over any of the carbon for the next morning. Now the word boker is repeated. Shein tamalomer ad boker, matamalomer ad boker. It says ad boker two times in the pasuk. Why? Baha kasuv li tein lo boker shein l'sreifa so. So because what the Torah is telling us is that when I leave over nosar for the next morning, and there's a requirement to burn nosar, so that's true. But I can't burn the nosar on yantov. Ein sorfin kachim b'yantov. And the Gemara says that's what the Torah is telling us, which the second boker, meaning the morning of Chol HaMoed. Then and only then am I allowed to burn the nosar, because it's not yantav. But on yantav itself, one is not allowed to burn kachim. And the Gemara is going to give other sources for this halacha as well. One is allowed to burn the karbanos of Shabbos and Shabbos, but one is not allowed to burn the olas chol on Shabbos v'lo olas chol b'yantav. And one is not allowed to burn any of the karbanos of the weekday on yantav. Meaning only yantav karbanos can be burned on yantav. But karbanos that are not offered on yantav cannot be burned on yantav. Rava Amar Makra Hu Levado Yaselachem Hu Velo Machshirin Levado Velo Milah Shelo Bezmana Yasmei Kavachomer. So and Rava gives a different source, and Rava says Hu Levado Yaselachem the Hu Velo Machshirin. So anything that is a machshir ochel, anything that allows you, facilitates you in order to prepare the food, but doesn't directly deal with the food itself. Like for example, making a knife on yantav, even though. Making a knife on yantav would be, it would be machshirei ochel nefesh, but the halacha is that we don't allow machshirei ochel nefesh. It is a machlokas, whether machshirin are allowed or machshirin are not allowed, but obviously this brice is working with the assumption that machshirin are not allowed. And levado velo mila shelo bezmana, it cannot be done, and asya b'kavachomer. The kavachomer we're going to go over tomorrow. In terms of what exactly the kavachomer is, and how do we arrive at the conclusion that sreifas kachim cannot be burned? I'll start tomorrow morning with the kavachomer. In the meantime, however, to end off shir today, I'm just going to deal with a very basic question which Tosfos himself raises over here, and it's such a thought provoking discussion. The Gemara has just gave us a number of sources that teach us that one is not allowed to burn kachim on yantav. Meaning, we're not talking about yantav karbanos. Obviously, yantav karbanos you're allowed to burn on yantav. But karbanos that are not connected to yantav, so ain't sorfin kachim but yantav, you're not allowed to burn kachim on yantav. Okay, and numerous drushas. But the basic idea is that it's not ochel nefesh, meaning we're allowed to do malacha on yantav for the purpose of ochel nefesh, but a karban, we're not eating the karban, and since we're not eating the karban, so therefore it does not fall under the category of ochel nefesh, and therefore you're not allowed to burn it on yantav. That's a simple way to understand the Gemara over here. What we're doing over here is we made actually a jump. Because the Gemara is using this halacha of Ein Sorfin Kachim Yantov in order to explain another halacha, notably the halacha of Ein Sorfin Truma Temeya on Yantov. Now, Truma Temeya on Yantov, so it has the status of Kedusha, that part's true, but the Gemara is assuming that just like you're not allowed to burn Kachim on Yantov, you're also not allowed to burn Truma Temeya on Yantov as well. And Tosfos over here points out that really, if you think about it, these two positions are not necessarily the same. Meaning, when you burn kachem anyantiv, so you're not allowed to get any benefit whatsoever while you're burning from it. So there is no there is no hana that one gets when burning the kachem anyantiv. And the only allowance to do malach anyantiv is only for the purpose of ochel nefesh, if you're getting benefit. But over here, if you're burning truma tamea, so as we already learned together, truma tamea, the kohanim are allowed to get benefit while burning the truma tamea. And if that's true, can't you make the argument that when it comes to the truma tamea being burnt on yantav, there is hana that is derived from the truma tamea that's being burnt, and it therefore would fall under the category of ochel nefesh, and it therefore would be allowed? And why did the Gemara just simply assume that just like you're not allowed to burn kachem on yantav, you're also not allowed to burn truma tamea on yantav as well? You could see Tosos, Lefishein, Esorf, and Kachem on yantav, where he articulates this question very clearly. I'm just going to read the question of Tosos. V'im tamer hechi afin truma mikachem. How did the Gemara make this jump? You're not allowed to get any benefit while burning the kachem. And we don't have the principle of mitoch. Over here, when burning kachem, you're not allowed to get any benefit from whatsoever. Elasrefas truma tamea. You're allowed to get hana when you're burning the truma tamea. Lama yeser maishna mishemen chulin. Shemutu l'sarfo lahadliko lahanaso da'atu truma l'fishish mitzvah b'sreifa so migra gara. And Tosfos over here articulates the question so beautifully, so strongly. In other words, okay, so it happens to be that the truma tamea, so there's a mitzvah to burn it. Okay, good. So there's a mitzvah to burn it, but you're also allowed to get benefit while you're burning it. So in other words, it is open. It's eligible to get hana from it. And so how did the Gemara make the comparison between that one is not allowed to burn kachem on yantav to one is not allowed to burn truma tamea on yantav? And you can see the hemshech of Tosfos over here, where he tries to address this question. He quotes two opinions amongst the Balei Tosfos. He quotes a Riva, later on he quotes a Ri, and he attempts to answer this question. It is seemingly an extraordinarily strong question Tosfos is raising. Okay, let us quickly recap. Today we went through the end of the discussion of my Hanukkah. The topics that came up today, we quickly went and discussed the Mishnah about not burning Shemen Sreifa on Friday night. Why should that be? We give two explanations, Rav and Rav Chista. We went back to the discussion of Hanukkah. And notably, we asked the following questions today. Should one insert Alanisim into the benching on Hanukkah? Hanukkah is only a din d'rabbanan, it's not a din d'oraisa. On the other hand, there's Pursumei Nisa. So should you add it? The Gemara's answer is yes. But admittedly, the Gemara was not emphatically excited about it, but the Gemara says yes, add it. Next question the Gemara dealt with today is Rosh Chodesh in Birchot HaMazon. So Rosh Chodesh is a din d'oraisa. So should one make a add the Yalav Yavo in Rosh Chodesh? And to that, the Gemara's response was yes. The next question is Musaf of Hanukkah. Should one say the Alanisim? What's generating the Musaf on Hanukkah is, of course, not the day of Hanukkah, but rather it's either Shabbos or it's Rosh Chodesh. And so should it require Musaf? And after a lengthy discussion in the Gemara's response is yes. You should say Alanisim in the Musaf of Hanukkah. And finally, the Gemara concluded by discussing one is not allowed to use the Aliyah, the tail. The Gemara wanted to know what's the difference between the Chacham and the Tanakam. And the Gemara says whether or not a compound oil of good and bad would be acceptable. And then finally, what we did today is the next Mishnah on Chavdal Amid Beis, of Ein Malikin Shemen Sreifa B'Yantav. One is not allowed to burn Shemen Sreifa on Yantav. The Gemara gave a number of drushas. We're going to start tomorrow morning with the last drusha of the Amud, explain the Kav HaChomer a lot better. And we dealt with today, at least we asked the question of Tosfos, why is Truma Tamea prohibited to burn on Yantav? You're allowed to get Hana while burning the Truma Tamea. And so there is an aspect of Ochel Nefesh, and why are you not allowed to burn Truma Tamea on Yantav? Granted, you're not allowed to burn Kachem on Yantav, but why are you not allowed to burn Truma Tamea? See Tosfos for a couple of responses to that question.